Well, that ought to be all of our prayers, amen. We need the Holy Spirit to be with us and lead us and guide us. Had an extra prayer request turned in here for a daughter, Dawn Yates in Springfield, Arkansas, I guess that is, and for cancer surgery. A lot of people, you know, good days of the Christmas and the holidays and all that, but sickness don't stop. A lot of folks need a touch from God. I want you to open your Bible. We're going to go to the Old Testament. We're going to the book of Joshua. To get our setting, we'd actually have to go to the last chapter or so of the book of Deuteronomy. But we want you to go to the book of Joshua here. And I'm thinking on the fact we're fixing to start the new year, 2021. They keep stealing my water up here. I don't know what they're doing with it, just selling it or what. But I'm going to reach down there and get that hand sanitizer and sip it before I know it one day. And then we're going to have a real interesting service. Amen. Maybe I'll be all right. But just as sure as you do need a sip of water sometime to get a dry throat working, and it's gone. Recently, that happened. And then I was having the prayer, and I felt a touch, and somebody slipped a bottle of water into my hand while all of our heads were bowed. I found out later that a lady was listening on the car radio, and somehow another smuggled a bottle of water in here in time. So you never know how God's going to provide. Amen. Book of Joshua. Let's go to Joshua chapter 3. Let me give you just a little bit of a setting. As you go back into the book of Deuteronomy, of course, God has taken Moses now. And Joshua's having to take over. I often think about that. Joshua must have had some anticipation. I mean, no man greater than Moses. And he'd seen the hand of God on Moses. Can you imagine how he must have felt to all of a sudden realize the responsibility is mine? I've got to step up. Will God bless me like he has Moses and so forth? And then as we move on in a little bit deeper, chapter 3, and Joshua rose early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. And it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host, and they commanded the people, saying, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then you shall remove from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that you may know the way by which you must go, for ye have not passed this way heretofore. And Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. And Joshua spake unto the priests, saying, take up the ark of the covenant, pass over before the people. And they took up the ark of the covenant and went before the people. And I want you to drop back with me for a text to verse 4. Here when the captains come through, the officers came through the crowd. They told them to follow the ark here. And it says that you may know the way by which you must go, for you have not passed this way heretofore. You know, they're about to face Jericho, the first big challenge, the big fortified city they're going to have to face. Moses is gone now, and the rigors of the wilderness has been upon them. And now the challenge to go into the promised land, and the first big city they're going to be in battle against, of course, is Jericho. So Joshua has quite a challenge. Now this verse here told him, said, you've not gone this way before. And folks, time moves on. We're thinking about last year, we're thinking about this year coming, 2021. You know, the thing about time, it passes on. There's no pause button on it. There's no rewind. There's some things I'd like to call back and fix, wouldn't you? Well, we can't do that. They're gone. They moved on. And time moves on. And the new year is a year we haven't passed before. We haven't passed this way before. We haven't done it before. And thank you. And Now I got no excuse. I had an excuse before he put it up here. But we haven't passed into this new year, 2021, yet. We haven't done that. And we're going to have to consider how we face it and how we do. I don't know about you, but a lot of things we thought we might achieve in 2020, we didn't. Saw a lot of things happen we wish had not happened in 2020, no doubt about it. But if we kind of get on to an attitude or a way to consider our way into it, I think it is right to peek back at it, peer back at it, if you please. I think it was an unusual year, really, I really do, and scary in so many ways. You know, to look back sometimes is a little bit scary. You ever look back and say, how did I get out of that? Must have been God. You ever have that experience? I remember as a young man, my dad had an old truck, and in the summertime, we would carry loads up north. Well, I was a, you know, Florida, Georgia boy. I didn't know much about the far north, and they didn't have the interstates they have now. And we had an old slow truck, old trailer truck, and so we struck out, and our motel was that truck seat, night and day. It was a rough time. But I remember going up through the mountains, first time I'd ever been through them, and Daddy would finally pull off somewhere up there at a place to let the old truck cool off, and he said, now get out and look back where we've been. And when I'd look back, I'd see that snake trail through the mountains, and it was scary to realize, you mean we came through that? This old truck got us here? It was kind of scary to look back, and in a sense, it's a little bit scary to look back at last year. No doubt about it. It really is. We can think of a lot of things that we saw in America we thought we'd never see in America last year. Bad things. We saw our values sold out. I tell you what, we saw the genius of Satan last year, whether you know it or not. Much of what happened was man's doings, but there was the devil behind it pulling the strings. And the things that he brought on us, we never thought we would see. We saw our values sold out. We realize, according to the Bible, we are in a spiritual warfare, according to Ephesians 6. And we do have to fight against principalities and powers and rulers of darkness in high places, the Scripture says. And I believe if there's ever been a year to look back on and see that, we should see what took place in 2020 and realize there's a devil we're in war with, having a warfare with. Long-range evil, folks. Sometimes we think things just happen sort of spontaneous, but oftentimes there is a long-time plan, a conspiracy, if you please, going against the cause of God in this world. I could say a lot about it, but we know we moved into Marxism big time in 2020. We're going to reap for that, I'll guarantee you, in 21 and right on. But it didn't just spontaneously happen. It's been planned for a long time. I told you recently in a sermon how as far back in the 30s, they actually ran a Marxist candidate for president. Now, he didn't get any support. By the way, he got a lot of it this last time. But there's a group, you probably never heard the name before. I've read about them a little bit, but you see the ones that's doing the biggest damage, they keep themselves hidden. They have a plan they don't want revealed. And I'm looking at a little information here. I can't give you all of it right now. There's a group, you may have heard of them, they call Tavistock. And it's an institute. It's been around since the 30s, maybe even a little before that. And it's an institute plan to undo America and bring in Marxism as we see it moving in so fast. Been around a long time. And the thing they do, you've heard me preach on it before, it's not Democrats and Republicans just fighting. It's a plan back there to create a crisis, to bring in a division, to make the warfare happen. And then after the division, they come in and take over. They don't care which side wins, they win. That's what the plan is. And this group here pulls that trick off. And now I got some names you'd recognize, but I'm not going to give them to you. I don't want to open up a can of worms here. But the backstage powerheads, Yeah, I know what you think. You say, well, the Chinese lost control of that virus, did they, or did they do it otherwise? Tom Cotton, one of our congressmen, says it was planned. I kind of think he's right. I'll tell you one thing. It's had the devastating results that they wanted worldwide. It's affected us. It's affected our missionaries. It's affected all kind of ways in the world. And it's not the virus. It's the fear of it that the media created big time. But this little note here says that the agenda, the communist Chinese coronavirus, was not an accident. Well, you make your own decision about that, but I'll tell you what, it sure played, was a great tool for the devil to use, and he has used it. Now, let me say this. This outfit and others like it, plotting the division, plotting the one group against another, and then they step in and take over. Listen to this statement coming right out. There's a little plan here called the lockstep. It's actually a fictional scenario, but it's panned out. Predicted this plan, predicted the American people would embrace the loss of their liberties and freedoms with the promise of returning their lives and the economy to normal. But then it says, but the plan is the new normal. The new normal is not the old normal. And we are going to see this materialize. We're seeing it right now. We're seeing it right now. It is an amazing thing how that when things get bad enough, we'll settle for a lot less than we used to have. For instance, our freedoms, we're not going to get back. Constitutional freedoms. We're already doing things I never thought American people would have stood for. But we're doing them. We're doing them. And now all of a sudden we're going to, it reminds me, kind of this socialism, communism. By the way, socialism is the economic plan of communism. That's the economic system of communism. That's what it is. I think about the hunter in the mountains in the snow and getting very hungry, he and his dog, and he couldn't get anything to eat. He had a little fire built, and the dog was sitting over there, and the hunter was just so hungry, finally just reached over and chopped off the dog's tail, stuck it on a stick and put it in the fire, roasted it, and then began to eat it. The dog looking at him. Then he gave the dog the bone, and the dog wagged the stub of his tail he had left, thankfully got the bone back. Can I apply that to us? We Americans, we've had our blank cut off. And we're going to get the bone back, and we're going to call that good. If you didn't get that, get your wife to explain it to you later. You know what I'm saying? We better watch it, folks. It's a long planned trap. And we're going to be satisfied with the new normal instead of the old normal, and that's bad. That's bad, and that's what the plan was. It's the outfit here and others like them, but it just didn't spontaneously happen. You've heard the saying that the crooked politicians use, never let a good crisis go to waste. And that's what we're seeing right now. As we look a little bit back on this thing and see these things that have happened, it is a long-range evil thing that has taken place. Marxist socialism, you say, well, that's going to give to the folks. Listen, socialism never satisfies. It removes the middle class. It leaves a top hierarchy like it did in Cuba and like it did in Russia and like it did in other places. And it rubs out the class that you and I would consider ourselves in, where we earn a living, keep what we earn, and instead, you just give it all in. And all of a sudden, people don't work like they used to. When I was over in Russia, I never forget this statement. I've used it several times. When I was over there and seeing a lot of folks standing around and work to be done, and those folks basically on the payroll of the government, I said, what's going on? How come folks are not working? I'd see the potholes in the road and the buildings crumbling and all that stuff. And the people through the interpreter said this to me. Oh, preacher, don't worry about it. They pretend to pay us and we pretend to work. Now, that was a philosophy. And we're going to have that in America if we're not careful right now. If you want to see an unusual thing today, see somebody really working. I'm not talking about just working to walk down to get the welfare check. I'm talking about actually working up a sweat. If you don't understand the word sweat, you don't know what I'm talking about, all right? Well, we're moving. The socialism thing. Did you see in the news? I caught a little bit of it last night when I got home. On the caption on the bottom of the news, it said that Nancy Pelosi and the Republican, the head of the Senate there, both their houses had been vandalized by vandals. They'd cut off a goat's head and mixed some red paint with it and put it on Nancy Pelosi's house. Now, I couldn't help but say amen to that. But anyway, with all that, that's socialism. Because the caption they painted on the house was, "Where is my money?" Friend, it's not your money. If you didn't earn it, it's not yours. You don't have a right to it. But we've brainwashed on the negative side to the place that even Americans now, "Where is my check?" I went to a funeral Tuesday in another city. I pulled up my car in the parking lot at the funeral home. As I got out of the car, quite a distance off, at least far as the back of the building here, I saw a woman coming toward me. She was older. She had a walking stick. By the way, there's a little plan behind some of this panhandling. And she had on her socks, but not her shoes. She come right, had her eye on me and come right to me as I got out of my car. And she said, "My check is late. I need some money." I said, "Well, I don't have much money." And that's true. What I meant was, I don't have much money in my billfold. She said, "Well, $15 or $20 will be all right." That so helped me with my hand on the Bible, what she said. I thought, boy, I knew prices was going up. But panhandling has gone up too. I did look my billfold, and I had a $5 bill. I guess that her psychiatry worked on me because I gave her the $5. But I remember when they were happy if you could give them a dollar or even 50 cents. We have moved to a philosophy in America that's killing us. Killing us. It's owed to me. It's mine. No, it's not. Where's my money? Did you earn it? It's not yours if you didn't. And if somebody's given it to you, be thankful for it, but don't claim it. Clock gets fast sometimes. I think about the story, you heard me tell it. Fellow sitting on his porch, and one morning, and a guy come walking by and turned the corner right in front of his house, walked up the steps and handed the man a $100 bill. Didn't say a word, walked on down the street. Well, needless to say, the next Sunday morning, that man was sitting on his same porch in the same place. Sure enough, the man come around the corner again, walked up the steps, handed him a $100 bill, and went on, didn't say nothing. Third Sunday morning, he was back on the porch in the same chair, and the same man came around the corner, but he didn't come up the steps and give him $100. He just kept walking. Fella jumped out of his chair and run and hollered, "Hey, where's my money?" You get the point? That's what's coming in 2021 if we're not careful. I didn't earn it, but it's mine. You earned it, but it's mine. No, it's not. And it's not Bible either. Bible says, "If a man won't work, neither shall he eat." That's pretty straightforward. That's pretty plain. Amen. I'm talking about looking back on 2020, and it's not a good look that we see. We've seen some seed planted, a crop coming up that we're going to reap right on and on. And you say, well, then what is the proper approach? Well, you might think I'm pessimistic about it, but I'm not. I'm enthused. So what do you mean? I'm like the little boy in the elevator. You used to have boys in the elevator to run them because they didn't have all the technology and all the buttons. And the crowd got in on Monday morning feeling like a Monday morning crowd does, dreading the week, work. They jumped in the elevator, and all of them with long faces, and a little boy jumped up and clicked his heel and turned on the elevator and started to home, and somebody said, "What's the matter with you? What you so happy about?" He said, "I'm happy because I never lived this here day before." Think about it. We never have lived this year before, but if we go with God through it, we can be enthused about it. We don't have to whine. You see, we Christians, we don't hide our head in the sand. We face the evil. We know it's out there. We describe the wrong. We preach against it. But bless God, that's not the whole story. We're coming out on the other side, folks. Not only is there daylight at the end of the tunnel, we're coming into the daylight. We're walking in the light. Till we get to the Lord Jesus, He is our light. We do walk in Him. We do have peace in Him when the world don't understand it. You know, we should be wiser as we get older. Now, that's not always true, but I'd like to think so. Maybe to let go of some things and not do them again. If some bad things you got into in 2020, you don't have to repeat them again. Some things you might need to let go of. Maybe somebody done you wrong and you're holding a grudge or something else. I don't know. Let go of it. Leave it behind. I think about the story of the little boys that killed a cat. Now, that's not necessarily bad, folks, but they killed a cat. And they didn't want nobody to know it, so they buried the cat. But they'd never done such a thing before like that. And their curiosity was pricked. They wondered what happened to the cat after they buried it. So they left the tail sticking out. And about every 2 days, they'd go by and they'd pull the cat up by the tail. Look at it, bury it again, leave the tail sticking out. Every day they'd pull the cat out and looked at him, he looked worse. He smelled worse. And some of you folks have been pulling the cat out of the hole you buried him in years and years now, pulling him out. He stinks worse than he ever did. What I'm saying is bury the thing, walk away from it, forget it, leave it alone, don't let it keep tormenting you. Somebody hurt my feelings. They said so and so. Family not speaking to family. How long ago did that happen? Well, 25 years ago. Well, bless God, you think it happened yesterday. Bury that cat. Leave that tail alone. Bury the tail with it. Get over some stuff. You never been mistreated like the Lord was. If He can say, "Father, forgive them, they know not what they do," how come we can't say, "Forgive them"? And you don't necessarily have to trust them again. You don't necessarily have to make love, in a sense, to them again. But it's tormenting you. Bury it and walk away from it and leave it alone and turn it over to God. And that's, get peace about it, is what I'm saying to you. No, the proper approach to this year, we need to bury some things that maybe happened in 2020 and get away from it. We all hurt when we believe the election was stolen. I still believe it was stolen. And you ought to pray for the folks in Georgia. If Georgia lets us down, we're in a heap of trouble. It's going to take away a check and balance that we need real big. And I am praying for them up there. I'm praying America could wake up a little bit from some of this stuff. I am praying that way. And I'm praying that God will make good out of some of the evil. But as we journey through this year, what's the answer? It's the answers in the text. Here right in the text, when the officers came through the crowd, they told them that the priests are going to have the Ark of the Covenant. And He told them here that you may know the way by which we must go, for you've not passed this way before. What did He say do? Follow the Ark. Follow God. So, well, I tried to follow Him through 2020 and this happened. Well, I want to tell you, you got a new start now. Follow the Ark. Follow the Lord. What did He say do about it? Let Him instruct. Let Him guide. That's still the key. That's still the key. Most folks get in deep trouble. I'm talking about believers. I'm talking about Christians. Get in big trouble when they try to make their own way and don't include God in it. Oh, man. Most of us could tell you personal stories. I believe you ought to pray about what you do. I believe you ought to ask God's will in it. I do believe He directs. I do believe His promises to guide our steps. and to give us peace about it. And if you don't have peace about it, you better leave it alone. If it's doubtful, give God the benefit of the doubt. But we can journey through 21 if we'll do it God's way, if we'll follow Him. We'll follow the ark, so to speak. You know, this might be the year Jesus returns. Wouldn't that be good? All this other stuff, virus and everything else, has caused a lot of folks to ignore the signs of Jesus coming. There's been some things happen in the heavens, in the earthquakes and other places that just, they couldn't even make it to the front page because there was too much other trash. But Jesus is coming, just like He said. It could be this year. It could be, as Brother Burke said this morning, right now. Who knows? But I tell you what, it'll be all right when He comes for those that are saved. It'll solve the problems, brother. It'll be the answer. And He is the only answer. I say to you, if you're here and you're not saved, do you know that this year might have been your last year to get saved? Let me ask you, at the beginning of last year, did you say, all right, I'm going to get saved before this year is over? Did you say that? Well, the year's over. Is God obligated to give you another one? No, He's not. No, He's not. Yes. A lot of folks keep putting off until the last day comes. And if you're unsaved, the last day can creep up on you so quick. Your last day can creep up on you so quick that you might not know it. I'll never forget in the early years, in the old building that's over here that we use for Sunday school now, day school now, I remember a young man sitting right back toward the back, smaller building. I preached the gospel that morning, told him how Jesus loved him, died for his sins, and literally begged him to come receive Christ, but he didn't. That was on Sunday morning. Monday night, a man put a gun in the window of his vehicle and blew him into eternity. I had his funeral. Preachers have some funerals sometime that are amazing. The truth was, he had his last call that Sunday morning. He lived his last day. And he said no. Then it was too late. I don't know who you are on Radio Land or here in this building today, but God knows it could be your last day. Sure it could. You heard the gospel before, how Jesus loved you and died for you. But you hadn't been saved. A lot of folks got saved in 2020. I'm so glad whosoever will may come. You can get saved this morning. But you're taking a chance every time you say no to the Lord Jesus Christ. No guarantee of tomorrow, the scripture says. No guarantee. You know, the Bible says no promise of tomorrow. I challenge you this morning. Don't try to go through this year without Jesus. If last year was bad, this one could be worse. If last year God said, okay, you've said no enough to me. This morning we start off the first Sunday in the new year, and I'm still glad I can tell you folks can get saved. They tampered with a lot of things in this world last year, but they can't change the gospel. They can't change the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that truth is, if you will receive Him, He'll receive you. He said, whosoever cometh unto me, I'll in no wise cast out. That means you can come forward and say, Christ, I can't save myself. I cannot be good enough. I trust You paid for my sins on the cross, and I receive eternal life because You paid for it. Can you have that answer in your heart? Can you have that attitude in your mind? If you can, the Lord will never turn you down. He said, again, whosoever cometh unto me, I'll in no wise cast out. Glad it said whosoever. Didn't say my name or yours, but whosoever. I'm a whosoever. You are whosoever. Would you come and receive Christ today? I pray you would. Let's bow our heads, please. With our heads bowed, how many of you can say, preacher, I am saved. I remember when I trusted Jesus. I have the peace of God in my heart that if I died today, I'd go to heaven. Can you say that with the uplifted hand all over the building? So many, so many. I hope you could lift your hand. If not, you're the one that needs to come this morning to receive the Savior while He's calling you. Would you stand with me, please? Father, we come to You in prayer. We commit the invitation to You, Lord, Father, you took us through this last year. It was not a good year, Lord, as we look on the world scene. But Father, every day and every year is a good year if we know the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray you'd bless us this year to reach souls if you give us the time. And Father, we know you're in control. We thank you for that. And if this be the year that you call your children home, then we praise you for that. May you bless the invitation even now that not one would leave this building lost. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing. I'm going to step to the front. If you'll come receive Christ, will you meet me right here? Will you come as we sing?
Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed.
Will you come this morning?
Me,
will you come?
And that thou bidst me
come. As others come, will you come? Be sure, be sure. Saying, will you come?
Just as I am and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God.
Saying, will you come?
Just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fightings and fears within, without, O Lamb of God.
Let's bow our heads a moment. The invitation's still open. God might be speaking to you about moving a church membership or coming for rededication and a time of prayer or something else. I don't know. Most important, number one, to know you've been saved. After that, God might be asking you to do more. But that's the starting point. That's the main place. Be sure you're right with God, receiving His Son as your Savior. I mentioned in the message a while ago, having a funeral this week. Have one every now and then. That one was outside of my own church, but it was people I had met many, many years ago, even before I was ordained to be a preacher. And a lot of years had passed, and a lot of things had been done and accomplished here or there, but nothing was more important than the starting place where they got saved. And at the funeral, folks don't read their bank accounts. They don't get up, tell you about all the things they've built, places they've gone. The big question is, where are they now? Did they know Jesus? That's the question. That's the question. And don't kid yourself, folks ask that question. Whether they ask it out loud or ask it in their heart, they ask that question. They want to know, am I going to see my loved one again? Did they get saved? Did they know Jesus? That's the big question then. A man that was a good friend of mine lived in the city for a long time, and he's been dead a while. He went a long time. He was a good man. You'd love to have him as a neighbor. He'd pay his bills. He had good character. But he wasn't saved. Time to time, when I would get a chance to talk with him, I'd say something like this. I'd say, you know, don't you know that when you die, your family is going to ask me to preach your funeral, and I want you to tell me, what am I going to say? And he'd smile and say, I'll get around to it. A long time, he didn't. And then he got saved. That was a rejoicing time. A few years later, he went to speak with the Lord. But it hit him hard that I said to him, you're putting me on the spot. You're putting your family on the spot. You know, we all love you, but I'm not going to get up and lie and tell them I know you in heaven when you rejected Christ. Would that be your case? Something to think about, folks. Something to think about.